Folks, there is two little holders for money there. One is the normal one, and the other one is for the Samaritan. Samaritan Fund goes through the church fund, obviously. It's all one fund. But the reason for having the separate one is that's the only way I can tell how much has been given for Samaritan. So that's why there is a separate one there. All right. And the accounts for last year will be ready any time now, so you'll see what happens with the money. Thank you, Julie.
Good morning. Total reliance on the Holy Spirit this morning. We hope this is going to work. Backing track, if not, is a cappella. So it's just wonderful to see everyone. And it's just so good to come and praise the Lord. And I think I said in my talk back last August that I like starting off with something crazy, that we can praise the Lord and it lifts our spirits as we praise Him. So we're going to sing this morning, Jesus is the name we honor. And we're going to glorify Him and lift Him high and give Him all the honor and praise.
Jesus is the name we honor. Jesus is the name we praise. Just the name of all the Jesus is God. All the
Now may we come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, we pray that as the Holy Spirit came in wind and fire to the apostles, so may your Spirit come to us, breathing new life into our lives and setting our hearts aflame with love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Gracious God, rejoicing in your blessings, trusting in your loving care for all, we bring you our prayers for the world. We pray for the created world, for those who rebuild where things have been destroyed, for those who fight hunger, poverty, and disease, for those who have power to bring change for the better and to renew hope. We pray for our country, for those in leadership who frame our laws and shape our communion life, who keep the peace and administer justice for those who teach and those who heal, for all who serve the community. We pray for people in need, those for whom life is a bitter struggle, those whose lives are clouded by death or loss, by pain or disability, by discouragement or fear, by shame or rejection. We pray for those in the circle of our friendship and love around us, children and parents, sisters and brothers, friends and neighbors, and for those especially in our thoughts today. We pray for Jean and for Stuart and ask that you would keep them safe and be all that they require at this time. We pray for Rita and for her friend Jean. We thank you that Jenny is now is back at home with her daughter. We pray for Rita that she will get relief from pain. We pray for Stephen and Rachel as they prepare for their wedding. Be all that they require at this time, Lord, we pray. We pray for Graham and for Deborah, who late next week, we hope, will be moving into their new home. We ask that you would undertake for all the details that have to be solved in the coming days. We pray for Bruce Barker. Lord, he's waiting for results of his scan. And we pray, Lord, that you will touch him with your healing hand. We pray, Lord, that he may get good results. We pray for his parents. We pray for Dawn, Emma, and Hannah in this strange time. And Lord, we also pray for Jilly, for Robert, and ask that you would equip them for their ministry. We pray for Brian, and we ask that you would equip him for his ministry. And keep him healthy, Lord, we pray. We pray for Sarah. We ask that you would be all that she needs at this time. We thank you for the way that she helps other people. But Lord, equip her for her discipleship. We pray, Lord, for Eunice and myself. We pray, Lord, that all that we do might please you and be for your glory. We pray for the church in its stand with the poor, in its love for the outcast and ashamed, in its service to the sick and the neglected, in its proclamation of the gospel in this land and in this place. Eternal God, hear these our prayers, the spoken and the silent, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all praise and glory, both now and forever. Amen. Thank you, Jerry.
So, as we're looking at who we are in Christ this morning, we're going to sing Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
Sung at my ordination when I was set apart for ministry, and also at the seven churches, I think it was, but when I was inducted at each church, it was my choice that this should be sung, and it was, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." Over now to Stephen, who's going to share the reading with us.
Which is 1 Peter 2, 4 to 12. The living stone in the chosen people. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Living godly lives in a pagan society. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Amen.
Isn't it wonderful? It's clear from the scriptures that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, belonging to God. So we're going to sing that now. And just to say, mindful, but the first chorus times two, the middle chorus times two, and the last chorus times two. We've tried the music, but I'll take it off again if it's, if we can't hear it.
Be not to
It was written in 1981. So when I came to the Lord, we were singing it as a new song, which meant that right at the beginning of my journey, I got, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, belonging to God, the priesthood of all believers. So thank you that that song was written here.
Thank you. Everyone counts, and everyone is a minister for Christ. We are all involved in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are all very special to him. Each one of us counts in his sight. He's not there just for a few. He is there for all. The Lord loves us all. And we are each one very special to him. Ephesians 4, verse 16. From him, Christ, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, which grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I want now to quote something that David Watson, a great Christian of the past, has said. This is what he said. I believe profoundly that in any local church, the ministry involves the whole congregation. I once dislocated my collarbone, and I couldn't do anything properly until it was put back. Similarly, it is only when we are rightly related to one another that the body of Christ can work properly. He goes on to say, a fisherman cannot fish effectively if his nets are broken. So Christians cannot be effective in the world unless people are working harmoniously together. Can I say, friends, that all too often the local church is like a narrow-necked bottle, with the minister being the cork in the bottle and sediment at the bottom of the bottle being the pew fillers. Someone remarked that if you shook the bottle really hard, you may make the cork fly right out. That's a bit ruthless, isn't it, eh? But there are other ways that this can be achieved. In the church that I've been involved with in the past, we try to learn from the New Testament principles of shared leadership. We had a system of elders. For instance, we tried to build up strong relationships with each other. I believe that the strength, harmony and love of the leadership of the church will determine its strength, its harmony, and its love for the whole congregation. So, friends, we need to work hard on our relationship with each other. When we do that, then the congregation is divided into area groups. It's a good way to do it, to divide the congregation into area groups for the purposes of pastoral help, counseling, and so on. This is just one way of working out principles of shared ministry. You know, someone is responsible for prayer. That person is responsible and receives requests from various people in the church for prayer in the future. And visitation is another one. And if you put all these gifts together and work together, no one is better than the other. No one is more gifted than the other. Might have different gifts, yes, but we are all important in the wider ministry of our Lord. So, instead of being content to fill the church with new believers in Jesus, it is surely important to see the New Testament picture of every Christian in the body of Christ as a minister for Christ, nothing less. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's work for service, to prepare God's people for the work of service. In this way, comments someone, the entire church is comprised of ministers. The ministers are not a special breed of sheep coming from the seminary or the college. They are simply believers who go on growing and growing. Thus, the purpose of the pastor is to make disciples who themselves make disciples and who again make disciples. Aiming, my friends, towards this ideal will involve a radical thing for many Christians. First, there is no distinction between church leaders and laity. All ministers are laymen, and all laymen are ministers. All too often, the vicar or pastor of a church is the bottleneck of the church. You know what I mean? Everything must pass through him or go out from him. With such a constriction, it is not surprising that there is an acute shortage of gifts and ministries in many churches. You can't have those restrictions, my friend. A church is not allowed to flow and develop if there are restrictions on the individual members. They're not just members. We are all ministers of Christ. We are all involved in his ministry. We will have different gifts. We will have different ideas. But working harmoniously together, the needs of the church should be filled. God should be glorified and his kingdom increased. So, if we can always work on that kind of pattern, that we are all special to God, you'll count, and we are all ministers in his ministry. God bless you, and to him be the glory. Amen.
So as we come to communion, we're going to sing Wonderful Grace that gives what I don't deserve. So because of God sending Jesus, we receive that grace and we can come and take the bread and the wine in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. Just one chorus between the verses, but two at the end.
Oh, grace, that gives what I don't deserve, grace in love, and let me know. Wonderful grace, that gives me no time to change, all things away my stains, what's happening.
I have a different call to the table than we often use. Here is the table of the Lord. We are gathered to his supper, a foretaste of things eternal. This is the table, not of the church or of the pub, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. Come, my friends, not because it is I who invite you. It is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Look, here is the Lord's table, spread out as for a feast, bread for breaking, wine poured out for drinking. These are signs of his love and hospitality. symbols of his broken life, his blood poured out. He is not dead. He is risen and present among us, and that is evidence of God's grace and promise. So, friends, we come in faith to this table, companions on a journey. Some of us may be fresh and eager, others might be weary and in need of nourishment. But all of us are conscious of our failings. But come now, don't hesitate. The table is ready and the Lord himself invites us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your great and your wonderful love. We thank you that you took our place on the cross of Calvary. And we want to praise and thank you for that tremendous sacrifice. And we want to thank you also that as we worship you now, we do this not only in remembrance of you, but proclaiming that you are among us. You are alive. We worship a living, risen Saviour. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We know that Jesus took the bread. We broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." This said Jesus, "Do in remembrance of me." And Brian, it would be nice if you could come and serve. Jesus also took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whatever you do," Jesus said, "do it in remembrance of me." We will hold the cups until we are all served. And Stephen, would you like to come? The blood of Jesus was shed for us. Let us drink and be truly thankful. God of grace, you have called us to be your disciple people and gathered us to your table. Here we have tasted new wine of your kingdom. Empower us, Lord, by your Spirit, that we may be gospel people, sharing the good news with others. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we ask this prayer. Amen. Over to Julie.
So as we use our gifts, we need guidance and line in verse 2. Lead me all my journey through, strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. So we sing, guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Your fountain, where slowly lives green above, and the wildly fountain in your love, is all my joy. Strong in love, strong in love,
Come and join together.
Richard, we're doing the backing track for us, and please remember him in your prayers because he's working all weekend as well at the moment, and that's absolutely shattered, I'm sure. So
thank you. Name in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be our soul evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah.